Amen. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Take your Bibles with me, if you will, and stand and open them to 1 Samuel chapter number 3. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. It's good to see everyone out here this morning. If you're visiting this morning, thank you for being here. We do appreciate that. We do encourage you to come back when our pastor's here so you can hear him preach, but we're thankful that you're here. How was your Sunday school class this morning? Is it good? All right. Amen. This morning, I had the privilege to be in the, I think it's called the primary Sunday school class. Rebecca taught for Mrs. Auger. She was the, she's the, I think it's 6, 7, and 8-year-old Sunday school class teacher. And so Rebecca filled in for her, and I was the helper. And so I was down there. And so it was funny, on the way to church, you know, I was thinking, you know, since we both have something prepared, she has a Sunday school lesson, and then I have a sermon prepared. I was telling her, you know, since you're going to go first, if I like your Sunday school lesson better than I like my sermon, I may just borrow your notes. And so you say, well, how did it go? Well, I asked her for the flashcards before I came up here. And so, you know, preachers always joke about their wives writing their sermons for them. And so this was her big opportunity, man. She went and gave me the flashcards. If she walks up here in the middle of the service and brings me the flashcards, you'll know what that was all about. But anyway, I do appreciate my wife, and I appreciate the Sunday school lesson this morning. So we're going to go ahead and get right to work. You're in 1 Samuel. Let's begin this morning by reading the first 13 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 3, and then I'll give you the title to my message, and then we'll pray, and you can be seated. So 1 Samuel chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went, and he lay down again. The Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Verse number 7. Now Samuel did not know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose, and he went to Eli, and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things that I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever, and the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. This morning I'd just like to speak on the subject, the voice of God. The voice of God. We'll go ahead and pray, and we'll get started. Brother Trenton, would you mind praying for us, please? And thank you. You may be seated. There are things in life that we label, moments of time in life, that we label what we call a defining moment. A defining moment. And to me, a defining moment can best be summed up, best be described by one phrase, and that is, it all comes down to this. It all comes down to this. You know, in the world of sports, for example, if an announcer, he might say, well, it's the fourth quarter, home team is down by two, they have the ball with 5 seconds left, and it all comes down to this. It all comes down to this. This next moment is going to define the outcome of the game. Whatever happens in this next moment will determine who's walking away losers and who is walking away winners. It all comes down to this. For those of you who are married, I try to think of a couple of other examples here this morning. For those of you who are married, that time when you asked your wife to marry you, you know, you bought the engagement ring, you had it all planned out, you know, this is how it's going to go, And so everything goes just according to plan. It's the right time. It's the right place. You drop down on your knee and you say, "Will you marry me?" And it all comes down to this. What is she going to say? You see, people forget about that. When that whole proposal thing, there's actually the part where she has to say yes. But it all comes down to this. What happens in that next moment will define that relationship going forward. It all comes down to this. I try to think of another one. It all comes down to this. You've waited 20 weeks for that ultrasound, and it seems like you can't wait any longer. You know, your life is about to change dramatically, and you just want to know, is it pink, is it blue, or is it two? A defining moment. A defining moment. It all comes down to this. Congratulations, Mom and Dad. You are the parents of a new... And I'm just going to leave it there. We're going to leave you in suspense. A defining moment. It all comes down to this. It all comes down to this. Defining moments. It all comes down to this. Why do I bring that up? Well, because in our text this morning, Samuel is going to have what I would classify as a defining moment. A defining moment. And before we get into our text this morning, it's actually very important that we set the background of this. And so we're going to go through a little bit of background, and then we'll get into seeing how Samuel had this defining moment. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we find a boy named Samuel. We find a boy named Samuel. Samuel turned out to be a great man in the children of Israel. If you know your Old Testament, Samuel turned out to be a great man. He would end up being a great prophet. He would be a great judge. He was one of the only two in the Old Testament who held both of those offices, prophet and judge, Deborah being the other one, who was both a prophetess and a judge. If there were Israelites in the building this morning, they would brag on Samuel. They would remember the time that Samuel told to them, "I will not sin against God in ceasing to pray for you." They would remember the love of Samuel. They would remember the devotion of Samuel. They would remember his great leadership. They could trust Samuel. They could depend upon Samuel to get a word from God, and they knew that he knew how to get it. But you see, before all of this happened, before all of that happened, we have the first three chapters of 1 Samuel. In chapter 1 and 2, we find out that Samuel's life was a miracle of God. It was a miracle of God. His mother Hannah could not get pregnant. His mother Hannah could not get pregnant. Hannah had to share her husband Elkanah with another woman who was named Peninnah, and she was Elkanah's other wife. And of course, Peninnah, we know, the Bible tells us that she had children. She had both sons and daughters, and Peninnah did a great job of reminding Hannah that she did have them. The Bible tells us that Hannah was barren, and the worst part is that the Bible tells us that Peninnah, who the Bible called Hannah's adversary, the Bible says this, she provoked her sore and caused her to fret, which literally means to be miserable, because the Lord had shut up her womb. She literally tormented her. She provoked her. She said, "Hey, you don't have children. I do. I'm the favorite wife." Basically, that's what's going on there. If you want to know why God's plan for marriage is one man and one woman for one lifetime, this is a great example right here. This is a great example right here. Listen, after this happened, Hannah wept in bitterness of soul. She wept in bitterness of soul. She made a vow to God. She said, "God, if you will please open up my womb, if you will please give me a man child, I'll give it right back to you. Please, God, give me a son." She cried out to God in prayer. The Bible tells us that God heard her prayer. He saw her tears. He heard her prayer. He saw her tears, and he opened her womb, and he gave her a son. And she named that son Samuel. The Bible also tells us that Hannah kept her vow that she made to God. She kept her vow. She gave him back to the Lord. And from the day that Samuel was weaned, he went to live with Eli, the high priest. Eli, the high priest. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, we're introduced to Eli. Eli was the epitome of the spiritual state in Israel at this time. You know the books of the Bible in order. You have Joshua, you have Judges, you have Ruth, and then you have 1 Samuel. In the book of Joshua, the children of Israel entered and they conquered the promised land. In the book of Judges, the Bible tells us that there was no king in Israel. And so every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Israel will live the entire book of Judges as if God did not exist. Of course, by the way, they did have a king. They had the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as their king, but they rejected him. And the only time that they were concerned about God in the book of Judges was when their oppressions had gotten so bad, they had no other choice but to cry out to God for mercy. And God would deliver Israel. He'd raise up a deliverer. They'd have a period of rest until the deliverer of Israel died, and they'd go right back into sin. And if you know about the last four chapters of how Judges ends, the children of Israel were committing, by the end of Judges, the most wicked and the most bizarre sins you and I could ever think of. We know, of course, the book of Ruth is after Judges. The book of Ruth takes place during that time period of the book of Judges. So we have Ruth during that time, and then we have 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel comes right on the heels of those four chapters at the end of the book of Judges where unspeakable wickedness was going on in Israel. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2, we meet Eli, as I said, the high priest. Eli was an older man. The Bible tells us that he had served as Israel's high priest for 40 years. He was supposed to be the spiritual leader of the children of Israel. But of course, Eli's claim to fame was the wickedness of his sons. His two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, you could read about them in chapter 2. Eli's two sons were wicked people. People would bring their offerings to the tabernacle so that these priests would sacrifice it to them, to God on behalf of them. And they would take their animals that were supposed to be sacrificed to God, and they would take it and eat it for food for themselves. And of course, when the people would stand up to them and they'd say, hey, don't eat this. Okay, I want you to sacrifice this to God. The Bible tells us these two people would threaten the people. They say, no, we're going to take those that animals that you brought, and we're going to eat it. And if you're not going to give it to us, we're going to take it by force. That's what these two people were doing. These priests, these again, were supposed to be spiritual leaders in Israel. And it comes no surprise when chapter 2 that the children of Israel despise bringing sacrifices because of this. They didn't want to bring a sacrifice. If these people weren't even going to sacrifice it for them, they hated doing it. They hated bringing sacrifices. And that's not all what these two were up to. We're also told in chapter 2, 22, that they lay with women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They were having immoral relationships with the servant girls who showed up at the tabernacle. The worst part is that Eli, their father, the high priest, was doing nothing about it. You understand that these were the priests, as I said. Eli was the high priest. They were supposed to be the spiritual leaders in Israel. The priests were the ones who had the job of teaching the people the word of God. And this is the way the spiritual leadership was living in Israel. It should come as no surprise that the rest of the majority of the Israelites were living just as wickedly and even more wickedly. Again, go read the end of the book of the Judges and you'll see that's the case very quickly. And so here we have Samuel. Samuel's just a boy. And he's living with Eli. And he's serving God at the tabernacle every single day. And there's this tremendous spiritual darkness going on in Israel. And so it should come as no surprise to us when we read what God's word says in verse number 1 of our text in chapter number 3. Look at verse number 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. And there was no open vision. When the Bible says that the word of the Lord was precious in those days, it means that it was rare. There was not a lot of teaching and preaching of the word of God going on during this time in Israel. There was not a lot of teaching and preaching of the word of God. There was not a lot of people who were receiving prophetic word directly from God to give to the people. The word of God was precious because it was so infrequent. It was so rare for God to speak to someone during this time. It was rare that people received a prophetic word from God. And it was also rare because the priests, who were supposed to be the ones who opened the word of God and taught the people, the priests were so corrupt, they were so hypocritical, that they were incapable of receiving a word from God and sharing it with the people. One of the greatest judgments, I believe, that God can hand out is when he stops speaking to people. And by the way, this isn't something I just made up. We're not going to turn there for the sake of time, but over in Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12, I'll read them to you. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, north even to east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it." The prophet Amos said there is something more catastrophic. There's something more frightening than a famine of food and water in a land. Something more catastrophic, more devastating than a famine in a land. And that is when God says, I'm going to provide a judgment that is so severe, and the judgment is going to be in the form of the fact that I'm going to stop speaking to people. Again, this was not something that God wanted to do. That's not something that God wants to do. This is what the people wanted. And so that's what they got. They didn't want God, so God said, fine, I'm just going to sit here quietly. I'm going to keep my words to myself, and you can have the chaos that's about to happen. Welcome to America in 2023, am I right? By the way, Amos, of course, is one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. And that prophecy we believe to be fulfilled in Amos 11, of course, will be fulfilled in that 400-year gap between the Old Testament In the New Testament, where not a single person received a prophetic word from the Lord. 400-year period, no one received a word from God until Elizabeth and Zechariah and John the Baptist and Mary come on the scene in the New Testament. This is similar to what's going on here in 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 3. The word of the Lord was precious. God wasn't speaking to many people. But praise God, in chapter 3, God is going to speak to a little boy named Samuel. And it's going to define Samuel's life. And it's going to have an impact on the spirituality of the nation of Israel for years to come. You know, I'm itching to get into the message, but let me point out one last piece of background before we get started. Look at verses 2 through 3 again. Verse number 2 says, "And it came to pass, at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." We see here in verse number 2 that Eli was going blind. His eyesight was diminishing. One of Eli's duties as a high priest, and one of the duties as the priest, was to make sure that the lamp of God in the tabernacle never went out. They were supposed to trim it. They were supposed to make sure it burned day and night at all times. And it says here in verse number 3 that they let that lamp of God go out. The lamp of God that was in the house of God, they let it go out. It was getting dimmer and dimmer, and eventually Eli and those priests, they just let it go out. And it says in verse number 3 that the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, where the presence of God was. Eli and his sons, they let the lights in the house of God go out, where the presence of God was. And now the house of God was in darkness. But thankfully, there's another phrase that ends verse number 3, which says, "And Samuel was laid down to sleep." It's a wicked time. It was a wicked culture. The house of God was full of wicked leaders. They neglected one of their biggest responsibilities, and that was to make sure that the lights didn't go out in the house of God. But just as soon as Eli and the priests had let the lights go out, God found another man to turn the lights back on. God turns his attention to Samuel. Jewish historians tell us that Samuel was a 12-year-old boy. The Hebrew word for boy is of a wide range of numbers, but the Jewish historians tell us that Samuel was a 12-year-old boy at this time. In the midst of this spiritually dark time, God spoke to a 12-year-old boy. A 12-year-old boy. And this will be Samuel's defining moment. His defining moment for the rest of his life. How Samuel responded in this moment would define his life one way or the other. Of course, we know the end of the story. We know how it ends. Samuel passed the test. And so from this point forward, God is going to use Samuel to pull the children of Israel out of their spiritual darkness. But that raises the question, or at least the question that I had, why Samuel? Of all the people God could have chosen to speak to, why in this time did he choose a 12-year-old boy? Surely there were other options. Surely there was someone else he could have spoke to. If God was going to break his silence, why would he speak to a boy like Samuel? Why would he speak to a boy like Samuel? Here's a better question I think we should ask. What if I want God to speak to me? What if I want God to speak to me? Can God speak to me? How can I get God to speak to me? Can I have a defining moment like Samuel? Can I have a defining moment? What do I have to do if I want God to speak to me? What do I have to do? Here's another question. How do I know if God is speaking to me? How do I know if God is speaking to me? What does the voice of God sound like? What does it sound like? You know, the main idea I hope to get across to you this morning is that God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to all of us here this morning. He wants to speak to you. If you're here in the room this morning, God wants to speak to you. If you're listening or watching online, God wants to speak to you. God has something he wants to tell you. And as a matter of fact, God has a lot of things to say to you. He has a lot of things. But listen, God doesn't go around having casual conversations with just anybody. God doesn't go around just having casual conversations with random people. When God speaks to someone, he's deliberate. When God speaks to someone, he speaks with a purpose. He speaks with great clarity. There's no misunderstanding when God speaks. He's very selective with whom he speaks. Not because there are certain people he wouldn't like to speak to, but there are plenty of people whom he would be wasting his breath if he spoke to for one reason or another. So the question for us this morning is, what does it take for God to speak to me? The question for us this morning is, what do I have to do to have a defining moment with God? This morning from 1 Samuel chapter 3, would you notice with me three requirements to have God speak to you? Three requirements to have a defining moment with God. We're finally through the introduction. We'll go ahead and get into the message. The first requirement you have to meet, if you want God to speak to you, you have to meet certain conditions. Let me just put it this way. You have to meet certain conditions. There was a reason that of all the people in the nation of Israel, God spoke to Samuel. There is a reason. Let's take a look at a couple of things that Samuel had going for him. Notice with me four different conditions we have to meet if we want God to speak to us. First off, notice with me that God speaks to those who are already serving God. He speaks to those who are already serving God. Three times in between chapters 2 and chapter 3, the Holy Spirit felt the need to point out that Samuel was serving God before God spoke to him here in chapter number 3. Turn with me, if you will, let's read them back in chapter 2, verse number 11. 1 Samuel chapter 2, down at verse number 11. And Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, and the child, this is Samuel, did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Now skip down to verse number 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. And of course our text, verse number 1 of chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. Anytime you're reading your Bible and you see something repeated multiple times in a very close proximity, that's because it's there for emphasis. And the Holy Spirit wants us to pay attention to it. It's meant to capture our attention and make us wake up. Before God spoke to Samuel audibly, before God called Samuel to be a prophet, which is what he's going to do in this passage, before God had this special interaction with Samuel, before Samuel had this defining moment, Samuel had already been ministering to the Lord. He'd already been ministering to the Lord. And you know what it means to minister? It means to serve. I know when we think about ministry, we think to ourselves, well, ministry is what we do here at church for others. You know, ministry is what we do in the choir. Ministry is what we do up here when we're singing a special. Ministry is what pastor does each and every week when he gets up here behind the pulpit and preaches to us. That's ministry. Ministry is when we go out on visitation. Ministry is when we go to the nursing home and we serve those residents there at those nursing homes. That's what ministry is. And yes, ministry is those kind of things. But how many of you know that the primary one we are supposed to minister to is to the Lord? It's to the Lord. He's the one we should be singing to. He's the one that we should be cleaning his house for. He's the one that we should be studying our Sunday school lessons for. He's the reason we should sing in the choir. He's the reason we should witness. God is the one that deserves our ministry. God is the one that deserves our worship. God is the one who deserves our service. Those of us who sing in church, when was the last time you sang a song just to God? No one else around, just you singing a song to God. When was the last time you ministered to God? Here we have a 12-year-old boy, Samuel, ministering, serving God at the tabernacle. I don't know about what all Samuel did. What all responsibilities would you give a 12-year-old boy? I don't know what he did. Maybe he swept the floors. Maybe he did some other little things. He might have cleaned the floors again. I don't know what he did. I don't know what all Samuel did, but I know who he did it all for. I know who he did it all for. You want to know what kind of people God speaks to? And this is especially true if God's going to call you into some sort of ministry like Samuel. He will speak to those already serving him, already ministering to him. You say, I want God to speak to me. Well, what have you been doing for him lately? I want God to speak to me. What have you been doing for him? I want God to speak to me. I want a defining moment like Samuel had. Tell me about your ministry to the Lord. Tell me about your ministry. God hasn't been talking to me lately. God hasn't been speaking to me lately. Well, let me ask you, what have you been doing for God over that period of time? What have you been doing for him? I'm not talking about what motions have you been going through at church. I'm talking about what have you done for the God of heaven? What have you done to serve the God of heaven? God was looking for someone to speak to, and he chose someone who was already faithfully ministering to him. Let me give you a second thing to think about. Not only does God speak to those who are already serving him, but God speaks to those who will be alone with him. God speaks to those who will be alone with him. Look at verses 1 through 4. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down asleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I, here am I. God will speak to those who will hear him individually. God will speak to those who are alone with God. When there was no one else around, and it was just Samuel in his room, God spoke to Samuel. Let me ask you, have you ever been alone with God? Have you ever been alone with God? Some of you are thinking, I don't like being alone with God. It's too uncomfortable for me. That's probably why you're unfamiliar with the voice of God. Because you won't let yourself be alone with God. God is not going to speak to you when you're hanging out with your friends. God is not going to speak to you when you're in a crowd of people. He'll speak to you when it is just you and him alone. I know what some of you might be thinking here. This day, you might be thinking, Brother Josh, right now, as I'm standing here, right now, we're in an auditorium of a bunch of people. Are you trying to tell me that God can't speak to me? Are you trying to say that God can't speak to me right here, right now? No, He can speak to you, and I pray that He does. But if He's going to speak to you this morning, you're going to have to make this time between you and Him alone. That's it. You and Him alone. When you come to church and when you listen to preaching, if you want God to speak to you, you have to block out everything else and make this a time between you and God. But a time between you and God. Some people will never hear the voice of God because they won't themselves get along with God. I have no doubt that there are plenty of times where God wants to have a private word with someone, but they won't let Him have it. They won't let Him have it. Their attitude is, God, if you want to speak to me, you got to speak to me while my friends are present. God, if you want to speak to me, you have to speak to me while I'm reading Facebook. God, if you want to speak to me, you have to speak to me over my earphones while I'm listening to my podcast or while I'm watching the news. If you want to speak to me, you're going to have to do it with other things going on. God says, no, I'm going to speak to you when you will give me the time alone. When you will give me the time alone. God, if you're going to speak to me, you have to do this or you have to do that. Listen, that's not the person that God speaks to. That's not the person that has a defining moment with God. But if you will give God your attention, if you could give God some time, if you could give God, if you could carve out a time and a place where it is just you and God alone, then at least you give yourself a chance to have the opportunity to hear the voice of God. You give yourself a chance. God speaks to those who are already ministering to Him. God speaks to those who will get along with God. Thirdly, God speaks to those who do not complain about the inconveniences it causes their flesh. God does not speak to the speaks to those who do not complain about the inconveniences it causes their flesh. The end of verse number 3, it says that Samuel was laying down to sleep. I don't know about you, but I don't like being woken up when I'm sleeping. Unfortunately, I have a 9-year-old son, so I don't really get to sleep through the night very much. Listen, there's nothing better than being dead at sleep, you know, in the middle of the night, and then something waking you up. You know, as I just said, my son, he turned 9 months about a couple weeks ago, and praise God, it hasn't happened much lately, at least in the last couple weeks maybe, but Rebecca will vouch for this, but there was a point, I'd say, when Theo was probably seven and a half months old, right about the time that he was able to figure out that he could stand up, he learned that he could, you know, pull himself up on his crib and just stand there. And so for about a month, I'd say from 7 months to about 8.5 months, somewhere in there, about that time, every single night, and I'm not kidding you, every single night, about 3 a.m., the kid would stand up and just start screaming, just start crying and screaming. I'm not just like, you know, crying. You know, he did that when he was the first couple months. You know, we expected not to have sleep then. But, you know, around 6 months, he learned to sleep through the night. But at 7 months, 7.5, 8 months, 8.5 months, I mean, the kid would, he would literally wake up and just sit there and scream until you attended to him. You know, one of the more proud things of being a dad is when your first son's first words is dad. Well, not at 3 a.m., you know what I mean? When he wakes up and he's just screaming, Dada, Dada. And you're like, why couldn't you know Mama? Listen, no one likes being woken up in the middle of the night. No one does. You know, especially me, you know, 3 a.m., 2, 3, 4 a.m. And I'm like, man, I gotta go to work here in a couple hours. I need some more sleep. Why? And of course, you know, it's 4 o'clock. And you're like, well, I might as well just stay up. You know, he's not going back to bed. He's got all this energy. And here I am trying to go back to sleep. Listen, it's inconvenient for our flesh to be waken out of our sleep. It's inconvenient to be woken up. God woke Samuel up in the middle of the night to speak to him. Let me tell you, if God speaks to you, there's a good chance it's going to be inconvenient to your flesh. That's not how God speak to me in the middle of the night. I'm sure you have too. You've got God speak to you in the middle of the night to the point where you can't go back to sleep because of what God spoke to you about. I've had God speak to me about something I thought was, well, this is the worst possible time. God, really, right now? You're talking to me about this? God may speak to you and say, Josh, you need to give that up. And you say, I don't want to give that up. It's inconvenient. God may speak to you and say, you need to change that. You know, I've been saved long enough to know that many Christians, we don't like to change things. We don't like to change our behaviors. We don't like to change our attitudes. We don't like to change our actions. Listen, that's inconvenient to our flesh. Not just the timing of when God speaks, what He speaks to us about can be inconvenient to us. But if you want to hear the voice of God, you better be prepared to be inconvenient. Have your flesh inconvenienced. Let me give you one more thing to think about and move on to another point here. God speaks to those who are already ministering to Him. God speaks to those who will be alone with God. God speaks to those who will have their flesh inconvenienced to hear Him. Fourthly, God speaks to those who are eager to serve others. He speaks to those who are eager to serve others. Verse number 4 says that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me. We'll stop right there for just a moment. God speaks to those who are eager to serve others. You notice what happened here. Samuel was asleep. God called his name Samuel. And by the way, how do you know if God is speaking to you or not? How do you know if God is speaking to you? Well, let me help you out. Listen for your name. Listen for your name. You know, I like that when God spoke to Samuel, he didn't say, hey, you, hey, kid, hey, boy, yo, little man. You know, he said, he called him by his name. Samuel, aren't you thankful that God knows your name? Out of the billions of people in this world, God knows your name. Out of the billions of people in the world, the God of heaven not only wants to speak to you, but will speak to you if you let him, and he will address you by your name, Samuel. And here's the part I love about Samuel. You got to love this. He pops up right out of bed. He heard his name. Now remember now, he's living with an old man. I mean, this old guy, he's going blind. He can't really see. He don't know what's going on. Samuel hears his name. He figures, well, Eli must have called me. He must need me to do something. And so he goes showing up to Eli's room, ready to serve. Listen, hey, Eli, I heard you called my name. What do you need? You need a glass of water? Hey, Eli, do you need me to go trim the lamp of God? Maybe you didn't know that was out. Do you need me to go trim that? Do you need me to go take care of that? Eli, are you sick? Do you need me to call a doctor? Do you need me to get you some medicine? What do you need from Eli? Listen, if we're going to cover what happened here in just a second. But we know that Eli didn't call him. God called his name. And to us, there's a little bit of humor here. But don't you think it was a blessing to God to see the eagerness of Samuel to go serve Eli? Even though that wasn't who was calling him? Don't you think that was a blessing? Don't you think it was a blessing to God to see Samuel jump out of bed in the middle of the night 3 times, willing to go serve this old man? God's about to call Samuel into the ministry of being a prophet. Samuel was going to be that bridge between the judges and the monarchs. He was going to need to have that eagerness and that willingness to serve others. He was going to need to be able to sacrifice himself to do what God would have him to do in the future. And I believe that principle is true here. God will speak to those who have the willingness to serve others. Why is that? Well, because a lot of times when God speaks to us, he speaks to us about stuff that we have to do. But sometimes the word of God will speak to us and give us a word from him that he wants to share with someone else. We have to be willing to serve others. Again, this was especially true for Samuel, who would be a prophet. God speaks to those who have eagerness to serve others. So let's move on here. We looked at one requirement, the first requirement for God to speak to you and I, is that we have to meet certain conditions. Of course, God speaks to those who are already serving him. God speaks to those who will be alone with him. God speaks to those who will have their flesh inconvenienced to hear him. And God speaks to those who are eager to serve others. Let me give you a second requirement for God to speak to you. If you want a defining moment this morning, this second thing has to be true for you. And that is that you need to avoid making the mistake of mistaking the voice of God for the voice of men. If you want God to speak to you, you need to avoid mistaking the voice of God for the voice of men. So look at verses 3 through 10. Verse number 3. Ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he said, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli, and he said, Here am I, for thou calledst me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down again. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. Samuel rose up, went to Eli, and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Go back to bed. Verse number 7. Now Samuel did not know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again that third time. And he arose, and he went to Eli, and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called us at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Let me say it again. If God is going to speak to you, you need to avoid mistaking the voice of God for the voice of men. Man, poor Samuel, man. He's just a 12-year-old boy living with a blind old man. He was just trying to get some sleep. And the voice of God calls out to him. Again, you got to love the eagerness and the willingness to serve. He hears someone's name, and again, that first time, he immediately said, Here am I. Someone called his name, Samuel. So he wakes up out of bed. He didn't even think it was Eli. He answered the first time, didn't he? Didn't know who was there, didn't know who was calling. Here am I. And so then, he just assumed, well, you know, it was probably Eli calling me. It was probably Eli. And so, of course, he runs down to Eli. He's the only other person he was living with. And I don't know about you, but I find it kind of funny, don't you? Just kind of picturing this 12-year-old boy. You know, Samuel. Samuel pops up out of bed. He runs down to Eli's room. Hey, did you call me? And Eli wakes up, and he's like, What are you talking about? Boy, go back to bed. You know, probably throws the pillow over his face. And so Samuel, he walks back to bed. And of course, I love that God waited till he laid back down, you know, probably pulled the covers over him. You know, he's laying on his pillow, and he calls him again, Samuel. And so he pops up, and he runs down to Eli and says, hey, Eli, did you call me? He's like, I told you, I didn't call you. Go back to bed, man. No one's calling you. No one's saying your name. Go to bed. So he goes to bed. You know, by the way, I wish I could do that to Theo right now when he wakes up in the middle of the night. Boy, go back to bed. So he calls him the second time. Now, verse number 7 is very telling after the second time. Verse number 7 says, now Samuel, he did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. The reason that Samuel didn't recognize the voice of God was because God had never spoken to him before. That's not to say that Samuel didn't know who God was. He certainly knew who God was. He was serving God. I believe he was saved at this point. It's not that he didn't know who God was, but he had not heard an audible voice from the Lord before. Let me put it this way. He had never had God speak to him like God would speak to a prophet before, audibly. He never had that happen before. And so I think the principle here is that it is true of many of God's people, especially those who are younger, or at least younger in the Lord, and that is that they make the mistake of mistaking the voice of God for the voice of men. This is just me personally, but I think a lot of times when we're at church and we listen to preaching, our instinct is to listen for the voice of men and not the voice of God. We mistake God's voice for the voice of men. I'll be honest, one of the hardest things about being a younger preacher is to have the congregation see past you and hear the voice of God. Let me try to explain. Listen, if God speaks to you this morning, it was not Josh Piper's sermon that spoke to your heart this morning. It was God that spoke to you. You know, it's not Josh Piper's sermon that spoke to you. It was the voice of God who spoke to you. You know, I wish there was a way that I could remove myself from the picture so that you could realize that I'm just a mouthpiece for God. That's all I am. I'm just a mouthpiece for God. I hope you didn't come here this morning hoping to hear a word from me. I hope you came to church this morning hoping to hear from the voice of God. Can I say this? Thank you. You should never go into a church service with the attitude that, oh, this person's preaching, I'm not going to hear from God. This person's preaching, God's not going to speak to me. I already know God's not going to speak to me. Listen, you should never have the attitude, well, pastor's not preaching today, Brother Josh, Brother Mason are preaching, so I already know God's not going to speak to me today. I just hope they preach short sermons so we can get out of here. And of course, the opposite is true. The opposite is also true. You should never say to yourself, oh, well, this brother's preaching, I know God's going to speak to me. This brother's preaching. Listen, it doesn't matter who's preaching. Whether it's a guest speaker or a pastor or one of us filling in for him, we're not the ones trying to speak to your heart. I'm not trying to speak to anyone's heart here this morning. We're just preaching you the word of God so that God can speak to you. Don't confuse the voice of God with the voice of men. When you listen to preaching, don't confuse the voice of God with the voice of men. You know, how many times do you say, well, I'm not going to go to the altar because this brother preached the message. I'm not going to go to the altar because he was the one that gave the message. It doesn't matter who gave the sermon. It doesn't matter. We're not the ones trying to speak to you. Did God speak to you? Listen, if you want to come to the altar because I preached, I don't want you to do that. And let me also say this. You should never ever, let me get this out here. You should never ever do anything for God because of the voice of a man. You should never do anything for God because a man said something in a sermon. Don't do anything for God because pastor said it in a sermon. Let me put it this way. Young people, don't do anything for God because your parents told you to do so. Don't do anything for God because your Sunday school teacher said so. You've got to get God for God. Listen, if you try to do something for God because of the voice of a man, what are you going to do when the man's not there with you? If you're going to do something for God because of the voice of a man, what are you going to do when the devil comes and attacks you? I think it's true that even those of us who've been saved for a while, we've fallen into this trap of mistaking the voice of God for a voice of man. Listen, it's one thing if you don't recognize God's voice because you've never heard it before. You know, it's one thing if you're not saved and you're sitting there and you say to yourself, you know, I can't explain it, but I feel like someone's calling my name. It's not an audible voice, but it's not being said out loud, but it's loud and clear to me that someone is trying to speak to me. I'm just not sure who it is, and I don't know what's going on. Let me help you out. That's the Holy Spirit of God trying to speak to you. And we'll talk about what to do with that here in just a second. And that's understandable that you want to recognize the voice of God. But I'm talking to those of us who are saved. I believe that God doesn't speak to certain people because they're unwilling to hear his voice from people they don't want to hear his voice from as his mouthpiece. I'm not going to go to the altar again because Brother Mason preached the sermon. It doesn't bother me who does and who doesn't come to the altar. If you don't come to the altar, if you come to the altar for me, I wouldn't want you to come anyway, as I said. Samuel mistook the voice of God for the voice of Eli. Can I say this? I praise God that Eli didn't take credit for the voice of God. There are a lot of preachers who would have taken credit for the voice of God. Listen, after that third time that Eli, he came to Eli and he realized that God was speaking to this boy, think about how embarrassing it must have been for Eli. Eli was the high priest. God was supposed to be speaking to him. Other than a rebuke in chapter 2, I bet it was a long time since the last time he heard a voice from God. He heard God speak to him. This was probably embarrassing. God's supposed to be speaking to me. I'm the high priest. He's speaking to a 12-year-old boy. And he knew about it. Samuel didn't know about it, but he knew about it. He could have just said, oh, yeah, that's right. I did call you. By the way, can you go get me something? Can you go get me something? Listen, unfortunately, there are some who will try to take credit for the voice of God. Hey, you're right. My sermon was my great sermon that spoke to you. You're right. You're welcome. You know, this is for preachers. This is for teachers. This is for those who will counsel others. This is for all of us. One of the biggest dangers we can do when God speaks to someone and they approach you after the service, one of the biggest dangers you could do is tell them what God told them. You know what we ought to do when God is trying to speak to someone or in the middle of speaking to someone and they come up to you? Instead of telling them what God told them, what we should do is we should send them back to God so that they can hear from themselves. Don't come to me. Go back to God. Let him tell it to you. Let me put it nicely. Eli was an ineffective spiritual leader for Israel. But I appreciate that since he was the high priest, he had experience hearing a voice from God. He had experience with God speaking to him. And so he knew what was going on here. And he had the wisdom to send Samuel back to where God could speak to Samuel, to where Samuel could hear God. And I want to point this out, that after the third time, when Eli sent Samuel back to his room, look at verse number 10. Get this. Verse number 10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Did you catch the first part of that verse? And the Lord came physically in the room and stood and called as at other times. When Samuel went back the third time, the Bible says that the Lord came and he stood there in the room with him and he called Samuel's name. Of course, Eli sent Samuel back that third time. God himself showed up in the room. This is another one of those Christophanies. This is one of those pre-incarnate appearances of Jesus Christ. Here we have the Son of God. He appeared in the same room with Samuel, and he called his name. And with just the Son of God and Samuel in the room, Samuel uttered the words, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I mentioned this a little bit ago, but I wish I could be taken out of the equation when I preach. You know, my prayer this morning is that you would understand that it's nothing up here that I'm saying that's going to benefit you. There's nothing up here that I'm saying that has any value to this morning, but it's somehow, if a couple of us in this room this morning will be in the same room, just us and the Son of God, right here in the same room, and you hear God speak your name, and he calls out and he says your name, and you say, speak, for thy servant heareth. Listen, hallelujah. That is what this is all about. That is what church services are all about. You and the Son of God in the same room together, listening for him to speak to you. That's what this is all about. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. We're going to get into that. That's actually going to be our last point. But let me hit this one more time on our way out. Don't mistake the voice of God for the voice of men. Don't let who's on the sermon schedule dictate whether or not you show up to church and listen for the voice of God. You'd be surprised how God could speak to you and through what mouthpiece of his he could speak to you from if you will simply listen for his voice. Let's move on to our last point for the sake of time. If you want God to speak to you, if you want to have a defining moment like Samuel had, if you want the God of heaven to speak to you, you have to meet certain conditions. You got to be serving him. You got to be alone with him. Be willing to be inconvenienced. Have an eagerness to serve. And if you want to hear from God, you need to listen to the voice of God and don't mistake the voice of God for the voice of men. And thirdly and lastly, the third requirement, if we are going to hear the voice of God, obviously we're just going to have to respond properly when he speaks to us. We're going to have to respond properly. Look at verses 9 through 13, last verses. Verse number 9. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 9. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called us at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle, And in that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Eli told Samuel, go back to bed. And if you hear that voice again, utter this phrase, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And we just saw that's exactly what happened. He had the Son of God in the room alone with Samuel. He called out to Samuel, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. This time, Samuel responded properly. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. By the way, that entire phrase, every word of it is important. I think there's a lot of people walking around saying, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Lord, speak to me. God, I hope you speak to me. God, will you speak to my heart at church this morning? God, I really hope that God speaks to me. I hope you speak to my heart. Listen, God, please speak to my heart. I want to hear your voice. Listen, if you don't have the intention of keeping that whole phrase, God's not going to speak to you. I guarantee you that God is not going to waste his time speaking to you if you won't have that last part included as well. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I'm not making this up. You can look this up. The Hebrew word for heareth is the same infinitive as the words, in our English words, to be obedient. Same word. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Speak, God. I am going to obey what you tell me. Whatever you have to say to me, I'm going to obey it. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. You know what Eli told Samuel? And you know what Samuel ended up saying? He said, speak, God, speak to me. You're calling out to me. What is it that you want to say? I am going to obey it. I'm going to obey it all. Listen, if God hasn't spoken to you in a very long time, there's a good chance it's because you wouldn't obey anything he has to say to you. Do you know what God speaks to us about when he speaks to us? Primarily, when God speaks to us, he will remind us of his holiness. After you get past the whole cuteness of the 12-year-old boy Samuel running back and forth, did you ever read what God actually told Samuel after he said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth? God told Samuel, verse number 11, look, Samuel, I'm about to do the thing in Israel that's going to make the ears of everyone tingle. Everyone is going to quiver and shudder at the judgment that I am about to pass upon Eli and his household for their wickedness. By the way, Samuel, go tell him what I told you. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I'm going to obey. Okay, well, here's what I want you to do. Go tell Eli. Go tell Eli. You know what God told Samuel? Hey, you know Eli? You know that man that practically raised you? You know that man that would do anything for? The proof being that you just got up three times in the middle of the night and ran to his room to check on him? Yeah, I'm about to judge him and his household because Eli didn't restrain his sons from the evil things that they were doing. Listen, when God speaks to us, he reminds us about his holiness. When God speaks to us, he expects obedience even if it's difficult. Even if it's difficult. How many of you would like to have been God, would like to have God speak to you and say, you know what? I'm about to bring judgment upon your friend or your family member, and I want you to go tell him that. How many of you would obey that? How many of you would say, you know what? Okay, yeah, praise God. God spoke to me. I get to go tell someone that God's going to judge them. I get to go do this. Praise God. I praise God that when he speaks to us, it's not always about judgment. I praise God that sometimes he speaks to us words of comfort. And he speaks to us words of encouragement. But usually when God speaks to us, he reminds us of his holiness and he gives us something to do. He gives us something to do. And again, he expects obedience. So here's a question. Why would we obey the voice of God if we're going to have to do something hard and something we don't want to do? Here's a thought. Because it's the voice of God. It's the voice of God. For the God of heaven to speak to you, that's the grace of God. God doesn't need to speak to you. If the God of heaven is going to tell you anything, you ought to take that seriously. You ought to take it seriously. And you ought to obey any commands he might end up giving you. If you're not going to obey, don't expect God to speak. Don't expect him to speak. But I believe here this morning that if somebody here would tell God, God, I want you to speak to me. God, I want to hear your voice. I don't care what it's about. I don't care what I have to do. God, I just want to hear your voice. It could be inconvenient. I don't care. Lord, please speak to me. Thy servant will hear and obey. I truly believe we could have some defining moments here this morning. I truly believe that there could be some people who have a defining moment just like Samuel had here in this chapter. I believe this morning that this could be the point. Today, right now, could be the point in someone's life that years later, they can look back on this service and say, right there was my defining moment. Right there is when God spoke to me and I obeyed him. That can happen right here this morning if we had that attitude. God, I want you to speak to me and I'm ready to listen to you and do whatever you ask me to do. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. You know, I was meeting those conditions that we mentioned. I realized that God was speaking to me, and then the speaker had nothing to do with it. And it was like he and I were the only ones in the room that morning. And God spoke to me, and I obeyed what he told me to do. We could have a defining moment. You know, we could look back years later and say, these years later, I am here where I'm at right now because I responded to the voice of God. I heard the voice of God, and I obeyed. Now listen, this morning, if you're not saved here this morning, this part is for you. If you're not saved here this morning, maybe you don't even know what that means. I don't know what it means to be saved. Maybe you don't know what that means. That's what you're thinking. But you don't know if you're on your way to heaven when you die. You know, maybe you're here and you say, you know what? I don't know if there's peace between me and God. And something is going on in your heart, and you can't explain it. And it seems like someone is trying to tell you that you're not right with God. Praise God. That's the voice of God in the form of the holy conviction of the Holy Spirit. You know, I feel like I should have mentioned this earlier. But we have a completed word of God. And so God is not going to speak to us with an audible voice. He's not going to appear to us anymore like he did here to Samuel when they didn't have the completed word of God. God's not going to do that, but what we have today is just as good. What we have today is just as good. We have the Holy Spirit of God who uses the word of God to convict and to convince men that they need a relationship with God. And if that's you this morning, if that's what you need this morning, you feel like God is speaking to you, I'd encourage you here in just a moment. We're going to have a verse of invitation. The piano is going to play. I'd encourage you to come down, meet one of us down front and say, I think God's speaking to me. Tell me what I need to do. And we'd love to take the Bible and give you further instructions from the Word of God about how you can be saved and how you can have a relationship with God. And listen, it would truly be a blessing for any of us to be able to do so. Let me also direct this last portion of application to those of us who are saved. Now, so I'm just going to ask a couple of rhetorical questions I hope that you'll think about. When was the last time that God spoke to you? When was the last time that God truly spoke to you? I'm not talking about when was the last time you heard a good sermon. You understand? Saying, I like the message, or I heard that was a good sermon. That's not the same as God speaking to you. That's not the same. I'm not talking about when was the last time you heard a good sermon. I'm not talking about when is the last time someone showed you something from the Bible that fascinated you. I'm asking you, when was the last time that you heard the voice of God and you received it and you obeyed it? You know, if you're sitting here thinking to yourself, you know, well, Brother Josh, the truth is, if I'm being honest, it's been a long time since God spoke to me. Listen, if that's the case, I guarantee you already know why that is. If you're saved here this morning and God hasn't spoken to you in a long time, you know why that is. Of course, it could be for a couple reasons. We looked at a couple reasons why God stopped speaking to people. Perhaps it's judgment over sin, like we talked about at the beginning, when God goes silent. Perhaps it's because you haven't been ministering to the Lord. You haven't been serving him. Perhaps it's because you feel too awkward to be alone with God so that he can speak to you. Maybe it's because every time he's tried to talk to you, you've changed the subject. You've tuned him out. You've turned on the TV. Maybe it's because you're not listening for his voice. You're trying to find his voice in the voice of another man. God's not going to speak to you that way. Maybe God hasn't spoken to you because you've already told God you're not going to obey whatever he wants to speak to you about. Whatever that reason is, you know why it is that God hasn't been speaking to you. So my question for you this morning is, are you okay with that? Or do you want to hear the voice of God again? Do you want God to speak to you again? It's really that simple. Hey, can I say it this way? It all comes down to this. It all comes down to this. It's really this simple. This is your moment. What is that thing that's keeping God from speaking to you? Well, you have the choice. It all comes down to this. What are you going to do about it? My prayer for us this morning is that we will respond to the word of the Lord. You know, we ought to be humble. It ought to humble us that God would even have something to say to us. If we're going to have a defining moment, it will start with these words. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. When was the last time you uttered those words? When was the last time you heard the voice of God and you said, God, I'm going to obey? I hope that you will do that this morning if it's been a long time. Stand with me if you would. Our pianist is going to come. We're going to have a verse of invitation here in just a second.